Welcome to podcast listeners. If you're joining us, we've got some great stories today. But I would love to start with reading this from Scripture. This is from Lamentations 3, a verse that many of you will be familiar with. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. God, great is your faithfulness. As I mentioned earlier, October was Seniors Month, and the theme in Victoria was Explore, Engage, Evolve. And the tagline on the site was encouraging older Victorians to stay curious and connected by exploring new activities, meeting new people, and changing how we think of aging. I read that and I thought, what a load of rot. Like, that is, I thought that was okay. But then I thought of some of the older people in our congregation and I actually thought, how much better can we do? How blessed are we that we've got stories of people who have lived a life of knowing Jesus and that they can say and declare with all their heart that, God, you are faithful and you are good. And so we've got those stories this morning. So would you put your hands together, please, for Ruth and Andy. So here we are. Why don't we start off with this picture? Maybe you can tell us about this day, guys. Oh, look out up there. How good's that?
Well, that's at Warwick Nabil in 1978.
Yep.
1979, sorry. I'm thinking it's 46 years next March.
And Andy, what was that suit made out of?
Not the sort of thing that you would actually think from the colour. It was just plain a suit.
A plain suit. Ample material there, just in the leg department, Andy. That is quite something. There was no material shortage in 1979, was there? That was
the... Remember, it was the time of the flares and longer hair than I should have had. And you can even see the W starting already.
That's a great photo. Now, look, this morning, guys, we're going to pick up your story at a point when things are pretty tough. We're not going to go into the things that had kind of happened prior to that, because that's a whole nother story in itself. But simply to say, for all of us, we're going to pick up a time in your life when things are pretty tough. Andy, at that time, your health particularly, your mental health and well-being was at a very low point. Though the circumstances in which you saw yourself had large and important implications for your family, for your finances, for your job security. Yet then, at that point, as now, you're more than positive, you're faith-filled, and this faith came out of crisis. And so, Ruth, first question, would you be able to speak to a little bit about what that was like at that time?
Well, it was really tough because we were out of the tent life and enjoying the five-star hotels, and life was pretty good. So to be faced with losing everything was very, very tough.
Mm-hmm. And you said you had a good friend that said to you a one-liner. Maybe you can hang on and something.
Yeah, so at the time I had a friend who was very, very helpful with Andy in particular, and when he walked out the door he would always say, "Oh, Ruth, hang on and enjoy the ride." And I thought, well, that is the most stupid statement ever, and it used to make me so cross. But then I started praying about it and I thought, well, Lord, is that even possible? And I felt God saying, I just want you to journal one thing each day that you are thankful for what I've provided for you. And I found that very, very challenging, and it didn't change my circumstances, but it certainly changed my heart.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I remember you saying, you said, you know, it made you ask the question, could there be enjoyment and fulfillment somewhere in this crisis? Mm-hmm. And would you talk to a bit about thankfulness, where you said to me, like, I couldn't thank God for things that weren't there.
There was nothing much there at that time that I could thank God for, but I asked God, could you please just provide us with what we need and provide us with a home. I didn't care whether it was a tin shed. If that's what, you know, we could afford, that's what I wanted to be in. And God was very faithful.
And you mentioned, and I should say, all of the questions that I asked today, some of them might be come across as a little confronting or, you know, and they are, but that we've discussed this together. And so there are, Andy and Ruth are sharing things that they feel comfortable sharing with. You know, you said to me an important thing, you felt like God say, would you just trust me for today?
Well, yes, because when I said to God, you know, look, I'll give up the five-star hotels, I'll do all of that, just provide me with what I need one day at a time. And I felt God say, all I'm asking you is to trust me for this day, one day at a time. And someone arrived and wanted to take us to a five-star hotel for the night. And I thought, well, hang on, God, I said I'd give up that. And again, I heard God say, all I'm asking you to do is trust me for this day. And he wasn't asking me to give up anything. He just wanted me to trust him.
Yeah, I love it. Trust me for today. And so you do, you put that into practice faithfully, both of you, and life slowly but surely turns. And life is not perfect, but it's fulfilling and it's good. And you got family and kids and grandkids and all those things. And Andy, a question for you in the midst of this, getting on the old pedals, and we've got a photo here too, I believe, of you on the bike. Tell us a bit about your love for bike riding. And is that a moustache? Oh, no, I thought you had a moustache for a second. Always ride faster with a moustache. Tell us a bit about bike riding, mate.
Well, I'd been in treatment for some time and I was, as I said, things were getting better, and I especially things that one thing that really did help me was getting out on the treadley, and I used to say that miles were my meditation, and I'd be able to get on the bike and ride for hours, and I could really almost feel God's pleasure in that. And but one day I was on a 70 kilometre training ride getting ready for my fifth round the bay in a day, and a driver did an illegal U-turn in front of me. The back of my head hit the back of their car. I was knocked out, taken by ambulance to Geelong Hospital, released the next day. But the day after that, I fell into very severe seizures.
And so maybe Ruth, you could pick up the scene for us. Pretty confronting. You head back to the hospital. Could you paint a picture for people around that, please?
Well, Andy was rushed to the ICU in the Alfred and was in a coma for several days. And I had a friend from here ring up and say, what can I do to help? And I said, can you please get everybody praying, because we've called the family. And it happened to be a Sunday. And that particular friend had a group praying here at Moorlap and a group praying in Barrable Hills. And he woke up.
Simple as that. He woke up, a flickering of the eyes. And that had been several days, and,
yes,
you know, lots,
yes,
of ups and downs. And when you say the family had been called, like, you know, things aren't looking good here.
No,
like,
no.
And Andy, would you tell us a bit about – I've just got this thing where there's a couple of members of our family who love the film While You Were Sleeping, and everything within me wants to start quoting lines from While You Were Sleeping, because how often do you get to talk to someone who is in a coma? But I won't. I digress, Andy. You're in a coma. Tell us a bit about waking up.
Well, I actually woke up almost immediately after the prayer groups were finished, and it was a strange experience, because it was like I was coming through a whole sheet of blinding white light, and I heard the words. And I don't know where it came from. It's silly to want to die. Because of the turmoil I'd been in for so long, and the emotional, I just wanted the emotional pain to stop. And there was plenty of times when I sort of thought about not being here at all. But those thoughts disappeared straight after that time, never came back. And when I'd heard from my family what had been happening, I told them, well, I feel different. And they also said that later that they saw a peace in my face that they hadn't seen for, well, as long as they could remember.
Amazing. Again, miraculous. And I remember you saying at the time, like, you know, that what a coincidence. Like, you know, people praying with faith and then Andy's health changes and, you know, improves dramatically. And Andy, thanks so much for sharing. Like, in the midst of this, you've had highs and lows and you say now you live with this sense of peace. But could I ask you, please, what comes to your mind if I were to say the word purpose?
Well, I can honestly say that I never once doubted, across all the decades of emotional stress and strain, that that I'd never once doubted that the Lord was God of the universe and He was my God, and that I could trust Jesus as my Saviour. But because of my condition, I do tend to find it hard to see where I fit into God's purposes. And in that too, I also find it hard to maintain a sense of either joy or happiness. But I'm just grateful that I do have that support from the Lord that we can hang on to.
Andy, I really love what you're what you say there. That despite you feeling and thinking a particular way, what you choose to do and how you choose to live is a demonstration of faith to us. Here's how I'm choosing to live. There's a couple of moments that come to my mind quite quickly that these guys won't share, and I'm going to run the risk of embarrassing you right now. But you know, being part of this church family here at our Moorlap campus, a couple of times that have really stood out to me is when Andy wasn't doing well, and I think from memory you'd even lost your license, you couldn't drive at that time, and so Andy'd get on his push bike and deliver freshly squeezed orange juice to a member of our congregation that was going through cancer treatment. Each and every day they'd rock up, and I think it was on the front doorstep. And then my mind goes to there was a young family in the life of our church who didn't have any biological family, that their biological family was hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometres away. And I remember you two just embracing them like they were your own family. And I think that's a tremendous... I just want to say thanks, because especially in spite of what you say, Andy, if you... You know, you don't feel joy a lot. You've said to me, like, you have almost fleeting moments of happiness, and even you wonder about your purpose. The fact that you would choose to live out your faith and bless other people is really inspirational, and we're the recipients of that together. So I just want to say thanks for that. Thanks for that, mate. Andy, another question for you. What would you say to us as a congregation about what we can do to help people or journey alongside people that are experiencing things that we ourselves might not have experienced in our lives?
I think the most important thing is to be willing to talk to them. Sometimes you'll find that people who are in distress and might... Their thought patterns and their, what they say might not be exactly as you would understand. But the thing is, you don't have to understand what's going on for people. You just have to be prepared to get alongside them and love them. I spent, before the accident, it was 10 years of real distress, and even after the accident I was still being hospitalised fairly regularly for another 3 years. But it was just so important for me to have people who would just meet with me as you would anybody else.
That's good. Thanks, Andy. And I know we won't dwell on this too much, but Ruth, there was something that, you know, unfortunately people did that was a pretty unhelpful in that season too. Would you be able to just touch on that briefly around prayer, please?
Well, I think everybody who spoke to me wanted Andy to get well, as we wanted him to get well. But I did have some people who... I had someone send me a letter and say, I don't think your prayer team is good enough. I think you need to change prayer teams because you know, we're getting really good results in our prayer team, so perhaps take him to someone else. And immediately I knew that that was not what God would wanted us to do. And I had somebody else say that they thought he was demon-possessed, and that was very, very hard to take at the time.
And when we were talking about this, you know, I think we were agreeing that, you know, being sensitive. Most Christians are praying wholeheartedly, living with faith and putting their hope in Jesus when things are tough. And let's assume those things. And I love, Ruth, how, you know, both of you, not dwelling to... There's enough that you've been through that you might choose to dwell in your pain or your hardship or whatever. But in all of this, just seeing firsthand your willingness to serve other people. And a big investment you've made is together is in dignity packs. Ruth, can you tell us a bit about that, please, the way that you've served others?
Well, they had a women's breakfast here some time ago, and they had two ladies who came and showed us these wonderful little packs that they were making and sending over to third world countries. And they introduced me to the fact that there are a lot of girls out there who have nothing to deal with their monthly cycle. It's called period poverty. And I was absolutely inspired by it. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. But I went home and thought, no, that's too hard. And that was the end of it.
Look, if I can just read this briefly for a moment, and in a moment we're going to have a portion come up on the screen where period poverty, although a natural and healthy process, it interrupts lives, rights and freedoms of millions of women and girls because they cannot afford or access menstrual products, sanitation and hygiene facilities, and also lack education and awareness to manage their menstrual health and hygiene. It also brings with it embarrassment and stigma resulting in social isolation, with often girls choosing or having to stay home from school. This means missing out on 2 to 3 months of learning each and every year during their education. Girls fall so far behind in schoolwork that they often drop out of school entirely. And I was interested to read, we'll have this up on the screen here, the UN has 5 actions in this regard regarding period poverty to focus on. And it says, support efforts in developing countries, fund organisations fighting period poverty, invest in conversations or relationships that support improved outcomes, make health and hygiene education more available in schools, and raise awareness. And I look through these last 5 points and I'm just like, oh man, what you guys have been doing, and more recently in our partnership with Christ Restoration Centre, a church in Kalangwari in Nairobi, Kenya. That church runs a school, a primary school, and so we've been highlighting that recently. Many of you will be aware of that. But as part of this partnership, ensuring education, sanitation and food for students. And so, you know, would you be able to tell us a bit about, it's not only Christ Restoration Centre that you've invested in, but also more broadly the numbers of girls and women you'd be able to bless?
Well, I got into it when my daughter in Africa sent a message saying, Mum, I've got 14 girls that are double orphaned, and I've found a home and I've got them in school, and I've just found out they've missed a term school because they've got nothing to deal with their periods. So can you do something? And I knew exactly what I had to do, and that started our journey making the dignity packs, of which we've sent out over 2,000 packs now. So we've been involved with Kalangwari now for 7 years. And we've managed to get a pack to every girl, the grade 6 girl, since they've left school. So we're pretty excited about that. So it's a fully washable kit. It looks like this. And the girls are reporting that they're going to school, they feel confident, and they're not missing one day at school. So, and their hygiene has improved. So, yeah.
That's great. And I remember you can put your hands together for that. That's great. It has involved a couple of interesting conversations of some of the people, particularly the fellas from One Hope, that have gone over to visit Christ Restoration Centre in the school when they've got to, leaving Australia through customs, and they're like, what is that suitcase full of? Well, let me tell you, like, it's been a great story. But in 2017, several of the leaders from that church and the school came over here. Tell us a bit about Salome and her comments.
Well, I don't know whether many of you remember, we had a women's conference and we brought over several of the women from Kawangwari Church, and Salome was the quiet, shy girl, and they didn't know what these packs were, so I set them all up on a table and Salome came over to have a look, and I explained to her what they were and I said, would you like to take these home for your family? And she just burst into tears and she said, oh, thank you for giving us permission to speak. We didn't know we could talk about this to our girls or our students. And that just started up an amazing ministry and opened up so many doors for the school to start training the girls with hygiene, telling them about their bodies, and it's been pretty amazing.
That's great. And it's been a nice little segue, because we as a church were forming a partnership with Christ Restoration Centre, the church in Kawangwari, and then you're off to the side doing this other thing. And so in the last little while we've been, and we certainly want to be more intentional about how we can bring those two things together to even, you know, be a greater blessing to those school children there. We've actually got a couple of photos here that Robbie took on his most recent trip over there. So here's a classroom that you can see at the school. Here's some of the students in their school uniforms. One's in a jumper. That means it must have got below 28 degrees, I think, Stephen. No, is that right? The next one, if we could. Oh, this is Salome doing a presentation to the some of the students there. And finally, this photo here at the end of their talk there. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing there, guys. And I imagine your part in this has been making how many hundreds of cups of tea to keep the team working hard there, Andy. I'm going to skip a question or two and just ask you this one. You know, there's been many obstacles for you guys. Ruth, I know even more recently your health that we might just give a miss to, but people can ask you about that. But one thing that I've always observed is whatever obstacle you've been facing, it's never seemed like a full stop. Like, there's always been faith and there's always been this sense of moving forward and trusting God. It certainly hasn't stopped you from being used by God. And as we wrap up just this brief time of question and answers, what would you say to us, and maybe especially our seniors, our older crew, like about living with faith?
Well, I don't think you're finished until you're finished. So if you've still got breath, then the Lord is going to use you. And don't look for the big ticket items always. Sometimes, you know, God can use the little things just as well as he can use the big things. And many have come to know the Lord through our dignity packs, and we know that. So it might seem small, but God will use it.
What about for you, Andy?
Well, actually, over the 20-odd years that this church has been here and we've been here, I've been inspired by many, many seniors and even a lot of people here today who keep doing the small things to show their care and their love and their commitment to their faith. And I think that's I think whatever you are able to do in faith, and just keep on doing things, whatever the circumstances, whether they be tough or easier, is the most important thing.
That's right, and I love it. I think it was Ruth Yu who said, and maybe you can comment on this for us. Sometimes we overthink it a bit, you know.
Yes, I think sometimes we can overthink it. And I know for me, I've experienced God has used somebody who's gone, oh, no, that's not my gift. And I think God gifts people for what you need at that time, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a gift that they even know they have. So be open to whatever God chooses, how he chooses to use you. Don't just think it's locked into what you think is your gift, because God will use you.
I love that. Thanks so much for being willing to come up and share briefly today. I think even before the service, when a couple of people mentioned that they found out you were sharing today, and the one of their first comments was like, those guys do so many things that are unnoticed. And so, I wanted to thank you for that, and thank you for the blessing that you are to our church family and your faithfulness and your generosity to the life of our community. And I know you do this because Jesus has transformed your life, and so that gives you hope. So, hey, would we put your hands together for these guys today?
Thank you.
Thank you.